as they sang a moment ago. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 16, and I'll take but one verse of Scripture for our text, and it will be verse number 23. Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, and verse number 23. And I would invite you to stand with me as I read the Word of God. Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, and verse number 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. A little phrase that I'd call your attention to that's in this verse, and it's the phrase, and in hell he lift up his eyes. And for a few moments I want to speak to you on the subject this morning, what you'll surely believe, your first 5 seconds burning in hell. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand behind a sacred desk to preach the Word of God. If in my heart I want to be a blessing, but the only way that I can be is if you hide me behind the cross and fill me with the Spirit. Place a hedge around this great church by the blood of Christ to keep the devil and his demons from hindering this service. Save the sinner and stir the saint. Heavenly Father, for all that you'll do in our midst and even in our hearts this morning, we will be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Bless and protect my precious family as I'm away. Give us fresh, warm bread from the oven of heaven to feed from this morning. Lord, I'd request, oh, how I would request that you'd clothe me in my calling. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. As strange as it may sound, there is not a single disbeliever, doubting Thomas, or dissenter in all of the unseen world of debauched souls. Nobody there in hell laughs or lampoons a singular doctrine off the sacred pages of the Word of God. In fact, a person may have proudly called themselves a free thinker here, who in the hereafter will there positively call themselves a fundamentalist. What you'll surely believe, your first 5 seconds burning in hell. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, we find the lovely Lord Jesus Christ speaks of two rich men. Now this chapter could be easily or effortlessly outlined like this: the rich man and the steward, verses 1 through 18. And the rich man and the street beggar, verses 19 through 31. It is well the physician Luke is dealing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit with the rich man and the street beggar, that a person learns what every sinner believes their first 5 seconds blazing in hell. Verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes. Everyone, Dr. Leithley, knows that seconds may seem as a very small measure of time. But an individual can fall in love in 1/5 of a second. A honeybee flaps its wings 600 times in 3 seconds. Bill Gates can make about $500 in 5 seconds, and the sinner in the charred halls of hell becomes a genuine Bible believer within seconds of their startling and shocking entrance. Never forget, it only takes the tiniest increment of time inside the gates of perdition to get any person to testify that their previously held tenets were grossly inaccurate. If you miss everything that I preached this morning, I pray that you will not miss that. And it even bears repeating. It only takes the tiniest increment of time inside the gates of perdition to get any person to testify that their previously held tenets were grossly inaccurate. Friend, you and I, both the unsaved and the saved, need to know what everyone instantaneously believes when they open their eyes in hell. Now, quickly this morning, there are three heart-moving truths that people believe in hell after only being there a few seconds. Let's quickly notice them this morning as they're found here in Luke chapter 16. What shall surely believe your first 5 seconds burning in hell? Number one, a real place. Verse 23, and in hell, a heart-moving truth that people believe in hell after only being there for a few seconds is, it is a real place. In verse 23, the physician Luke tells us that the lovely Lord Jesus Christ makes it crystal clear that the forever home of lost souls is an actual location. An individual must keep in mind that when the Son of God had fall from his lips, the conjunction and, the preposition in, and the noun hell, he was letting everyone know for time and eternity that this wasn't a figment of some crazed preacher's imagination or a fairy tale of some clever person's invention. Please listen closely to the testimony of the rich man in regards to this being a recognized spot. Verse 28, lest they also come in to this place of torment. The poet put it like this: hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that won't be there. No flowers will bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature we love so well. No comfort of home, music, or song. No fellowship or joy will be found in that throng. No children to brighten the long, weary night. No love nor peace, not one ray of light. No blood-washed soul with face beaming bright. No loving smile in that region of night. No mercy, no pity, pardon or grace. No water, oh God, what a terrible place. The pangs of the lost, no human can tell. Not one moment's ease, there's no rest in hell. Friend, you and I need to know that what everyone instantaneously believes when they open their eyes in hell, it's a real place. The Bible says in Matthew 19, 29, For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Breaking news, just as every person has a temporal mailing address, when one steps in to a crisis eternity, they have an eternal mailing address, which is 666 Forever to Be Lost Boulevard, Lake of Fire. On May 2nd, 2020, a Chicago inmate escaped jail by swapping places with another detainee and wearing a coronavirus mask so nobody saw his face tattoos. Jake Quez Scott left the Cook County Jail instead of Quentin Henderson, who had been approved for release that day. Henderson later told authorities that Jaquez promised him $1,000 to swap places. Scott wore Henderson's sweatshirt and a mask to take Henderson's place when he was called up to leave. And that's how he made his escape from the slammer. Ladies and gentlemen, I've come to this pulpit in this hour to let all those know under the sound of my voice that there isn't a trick, mask, or ploy that could ever anyone come up with that's going to get you out of hell's hoosegow once you land there. You see, a person will only be in hell a short amount of time, just a handful of seconds, until they believe with all of their heart that hell is a real place. Number two, let me hasten. Not only a real place, but would you notice it in Luke chapter 16? A real pain. Verse 24, for I am tormented in this flame, a heart-moving truth that people will believe in hell after only being there for a few seconds is a real pain. In verse 24, the physician Luke tells us that the lovely Lord Jesus Christ makes it crystal clear that the forever home of lost souls has actual acute suffering. Dr. John R. Rice once said about this scene in the Scriptures, there was no hesitation. He went on to say, the body is not cold, but he is in the torments of hell. Before the expensive funeral and the mourning of rich friends, the eulogy, the rich man is already being tormented in the flames. Then Dr. Rice goes on to their right. God does not have to wait until judgment time to know that the sinner is unrepentant, unconverted, unforgiven. Friend, you and I need to know that when everyone instantaneously believes, when they open their eyes in hell, it's a real pain. Now, I don't know, not lately, how many times, and you can imagine numbers, that in the 41 years, going on 42 now, that I've been on the revival road, you can imagine that a preacher would preach off and out of hell. But it was recently, or on hell, it was recently that in Luke chapter 16 I saw something that's been here since the ink was wet on the page. And that is the rich man in hell has all five of his senses, just as people have here in this service. I don't know how many times, not lately, I've preached from Luke chapter 16, but I'd missed that till recently. All five of the senses that the rich man has, they're all being tormented. When you are lost and you die and you go to hell, you take all five senses with you, and all five of those senses will be tormented, will be tormented. You say, preacher, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to scare me. I'd rather have you hell scared than to have you hell scorched any day. Five senses that the rich man has in hell, that all lost people will have suffering and torments as well. First of all, there is sight, verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes. A sense that the rich man has suffering in the hereafter, that all lost people have suffered in the hereafter is a sight. Just 5 minutes in the lower world with the sinner's eyes wide open will foster five millennium of hair-raising nightmares. Sight. Secondly, taste. Verse 24, and cool my tongue. A sense that the rich man has here that will sadly be suffering in hell as seen from his own story, is taste even bottled water at the source of a third world country sewer department would carry a large price tag in hell. Why, if this bottle of water came from the sewage of a third world country, you couldn't even put a price tag on it in hell. Oh, it's a sense that the rich man had here that he took with him to the hereafter that is suffering. It is taste. Thirdly, touch. Verse 24, for I'm tormented in this flame, a sense that human beings have here that they'll sadly find suffering in hell, as seen from the rich man's story, is touch. Every nerve ending will feel the lick of every flame as the unbeliever burns in the bowels of the earth. Touch. Number four, hearing. Verse 25, but Abraham said, a sense that human beings have here that they'll sadly have in hell is their hearing, listening to the screams of the last person who just arrived in hell, mingled and mixed together with those people who've been there for centuries, would fill every insane asylum on earth. Could you imagine what they hear in hell? Could you imagine the screams? Could you imagine the shouts? Could you imagine the cries? Could you imagine the commotions of those in hell? Why, if I could take this wireless, if it were possible, Dr. Leakley, to take the wireless that's on my necktie and hang it over hell, we'd have to go no further in the message. Because every unbeliever in this service, in fact, every unbeliever within hearing distance of this service would make their way to an old-fashioned altar. Every believer within hearing of this service would make their way to an old-fashioned altar to get right with God. Oh, the sense of hearing. Number five, smell. Verse 28, lest they also come into this place of torment. A sense that human beings have here that they'll sadly find suffering in hell from the rich man's story is smell. Maybe, Brother Matthews, the nauseating smell of burning flesh times 100,000 will be what they call, oh my, a good day on the AQI Air Quality Index in perdition. All that every person that is in this service would realize that the five senses that human beings have here that they'll sadly find suffering in hell are sight, our taste, our touch, our hearing, our smell. Some say, well, it all ends at death. Not according to the Bible. Some says it all ends when this life is over. Not according to the Bible. According to the Word of God, when someone, oh my, is lost, they step into hell with all five of their senses. I read just the other day where apparatus 126 is the oldest known surviving motorized fire vehicles in the Seattle Fire Department. In 1913, a Seagrave 55-foot city service ladder truck with a 40-gallon chemical tank was delivered to the firehouse on October 24th, 1913, at the cost of $6,550. It replaced their horse-drawn their horse-drawn ladder truck for 55 years, 5 months, and 29 days. This oldest fire truck raced around the city of Seattle, putting out all sizes of fires and rescuing hundreds of people. But wait just a minute. If it were even possible to park 1 million apparatus, 126s, in the center of downtown hell and let them work 1 million years, they still wouldn't lower the temperature a half a degree. A real pain. And then number three, and last of all, my time's gone. Not only a real place and a real pain, but number three, and last of all, a real prayer. Verses 27 and 28, then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come in to this place of torment. A heart-moving truth that people will believe in hell after only being there for a few seconds is it's a real prayer. In verses 27 and 28, the physician Luke tells us that the lovely Lord Jesus Christ makes it crystal clear that the forever home of lost souls has actual seasons of supplication. Evangelist Oliver B. Green once said about this spot in the Scriptures, the Word of God is a fence around hell to keep you out. That's 100% true. Wait a minute. There's another barrier that God has put around hell to keep you out in His goodness and grace. And that other barrier is the, we don't hear much about it, is the prayers of those that are there. Think about this. The only religious thing they do in hell is have a prayer meeting. That the next family gathering will not be in hell. That the next family reunion, that the next family get together wouldn't be in hell. Brother Dickerson, it's the only religious thing. It's the only church thing. It's the only spiritual thing they do in hell. Is to pray that the next family reunion wouldn't be there. Friend, you and I, all those of us that are unsaved and saved, need to there understand that when everyone instantaneously believes, when they open their eyes in hell, it's a real prayer. The Bible says in Matthew 21, 13, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Pardon me, shame on those of us that have allowed the prayer meeting at the house of God to be neglected, rushed through, and basically treated as an awkward formality because it's outside on the church sign. Well, the whole time in hell, they're having a prayer meeting that those of us that are saved would get off the stool of do-nothing, quit whittling at the stick of do-less, and win their families to Christ. It's a bold statement, but it's a biblical statement. In hell right now, there's somebody that knows you if you're lost. It's a bold statement, but it's a biblical statement. Right now, there's somebody in hell, if you're lost, that knows you, and they're crying, and they're praying, and they're screaming, don't come! Get saved! Don't come! A real prayer. If I was here this morning and all I had was religion, I'd junk religion, and I'd get a relationship with the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. If I was here this morning and all I had was my membership on a church roll, and my membership is not in the family of God, I'd jump that church membership and I'd get saved. If all I had this morning in this service was some shallow, some empty, some vain religious tradition, I'd jump every bit of that and I'd make my way to Calvary and be washed in that fountain, filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. If you're lost, somebody in hell is praying for you right now. If you're lost, somebody in hell right now is calling out to God that you wouldn't come, that you'd get saved, that you'd listen to this preacher. Trust Christ as your Savior. Can you imagine? The only thing they do, according to Luke chapter 16, that's religious in hell is have a prayer meeting. I'm closing with this. Five men were trapped in a spar and zinc mine in Salem, Kentucky by falling rocks. They had nothing to eat, Dr. Leafley. They were in utter darkness. One of the men could have saved himself, but he had run back to warn the others. When the entombed men discovered that they could not escape, they began to pray and sing. Their prayer and praise service lasted for 53 hours when they were rescued. Later, one of the men testified, "We lay there from Friday morning till Sunday morning. We prayed without ceasing. When the rescuers reached us, we were still praying." When the men were brought out of the mine, on their caps of each of them were scrawled these words, "If we're dead, when you find us, we're all saved." Don't miss this. I can promise you that somewhere in the unseen world of lost soul sinner, somebody who knows you has been praying fervently and faithfully for you at least for 53 hours. Friday night, all the way to Sunday morning, if you're lost, somebody's in hell praying that you'll be saved. On this side of the gate of perdition, there's free thinkers. On the other side of the gate of perdition, there's only fundamentalists and those who believe every word of this Bible. What you'll surely believe, your first 5 seconds burning in hell. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.